Hey everyone, I'm Annie Tevlin, founder of Skin Owl Skincare and your host of Off the Record, the podcast. What began as my search for meaningful dialogue in a diluted space has evolved into a magnetic epicenter of entrepreneurs, wellness experts, and influencers presenting vulnerability in a truly raw and transparent way. Join me every Monday as my guests and I dive deep into universal truths by way of humor, heartache, and hope. Now it's just you and me. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, pull me in, put a finger to my lips, 'cause I can't say I got what I would do. Off the record with you. Off the record with you. This episode of Off the Record is brought to you by Skin Owl, cruelty-free, vegan, healthy, non-toxic skincare made by yours truly. And because we love you guys so much for listening for all of these many months, we want to give you guys a discount code to shop. All you need to do is go to skinowl.com, use code OFFTHERECORD15, and you will automatically get 15% deducted off your entire order upon checkout. Make sure if you guys are loving what you're listening to, or maybe you think it's just all right what you're listening to, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever you love listening to your podcasts. But specifically, our favorite Apple Podcasts, scroll down and leave us a review. Let us know what you think. Let us know what guests you want to hear. Let us know what you're loving and what kind of conversations you want to hear us chatting about here on the podcast. Leave however many stars you think are deemed necessary and leave a review, and we will share it on social media and we'll go from there. But love you guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. And without further ado, let's get to the episode. Off the record with you. I can show you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are starting today's podcast off on a very, very, very different note. Because it is a whole new world, folks. It is a whole fucking new world. All right, cut it. I'm sitting here in the podcast studio with two very important people, arguably the two most importantly people in the world. Can you hear one of them? Okay, no. He's not hamming it up just yet, but the other person is Micah. Can you make your presence known?
I'm just trying to do what he didn't do. What's going on, everybody? It's nice to be here.
Can everybody hear you okay in the mic?
Yep, I'm getting the thumbs up, and we're good.
Okay, you missed my cue to do how you were testing the microphone before.
Oh yeah, ready? Testies, 1, 2. Testies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, good. And we're here for it. All right, so it's been 7 weeks since I have been in the podcast studio. It has been like 12 weeks since Micah has been in the podcast studio. And we decided to come back and arguably have the most volatile podcast that we have ever had by having my son in our lap. And we're just going to see how it goes because we don't have a nanny. There is no daycare. He is 7 weeks old. So deal with it, people. This is how it's going to go today. This is episode technically 59, but we don't know anymore because iTunes has gotten rid of episode numbers, and it's no longer iTunes. It's now Apple Podcasts. So if you are seeing iTunes anywhere, get rid of it because it's not allowed anymore. It's Apple Podcasts, and we're just going by the title. And I have a feeling the title of this podcast is going to be What's in a Yiddenboden? The reason I say that is because since becoming parents, Mike and I have developed our own language that only him and I can translate, that only makes sense to us. Would you like to regale the audience with the details of what a Yiddenboden is?
Well, let me back up for a second because this language, the origin story of this language is far before this small child came. And I think we'd both like to believe that we started talking like weird idiot babies before, or excuse me, after the baby came. But the reality is, sweet, sweet Annie and I have been talking like this since the day we met.
So what's the origin of, what is a Yiddinbaden?
Yeah, I actually think Yiddinbaden is going to be a nice opportunity for us to explain the way the language works. So we tend to replace L's with either Y's or N's.
Correct.
And it's kind of just interchangeable. It's whatever makes the word roll off the tongue better.
So, for example, lover is yover.
Yover. Instead of never, just because yover works better.
Correct.
So if you think of the word Yiddinbaden and work backwards back to regular English, Yiddin is little because there's an L on the front and back end, and we're doing the Y and then the N, and then Baden, L on the back end, is an N, okay? So now at this point, we're looking through the studio window, and the engineer is looking at us like this, hey, can we just get Annie's back on because she spoke English?
I'm going to ask you for everything that I feel uncomfortable talking about.
So anyway, Yiddinbaden. So here's the deal with Yiddinbaden. Then usually with these words that we'll make up, there ends up being a song to follow. Okay, so I mean,
wait, we're skipping straight to the song.
What the fuck else is there?
We're
going to
gonna talk about what is a Yiddinbaden? What does a little bottle mean to us now?
Oh, okay, yeah, it's a little bottle. Okay, so a little bottle is Monty. So this is the way we're feeding this kid. We are doing this combination of breastfeeding and then also formula. And it's been really, really cool because we got this great formula recommendation from Cedars. And of course, we had done some reading and stuff before. But as we came to learn very quickly, you can read all the books in the world, but the things that you really take to heart are the things that you hear once you actually have a child to keep alive. So Cedars, they were so incredible in so many ways, but they gave us these recommendations for, you know, which formulas they use and stuff like that. And the literature, as far as we read, showed that it's all good to do this combination. So it makes our life a lot easier because as far as like waking up in the night to feed, we have this kick-ass system where Annie will wake up first, or we'll both wake up when the baby cries. At first, it was an alarm, and now it's when the baby cries, usually about every 3 hours.
Yep.
I'll go change the baby, bring him back, put him in Annie's arms. She breastfeeds him for a little while. I sleep for 15 minutes or so after I put the bottles in hot water. As soon as she's done breastfeeding, she goes back to sleep. She hands the kid to me. I take the bottles out of the hot water and give it to him. Excuse me, the Yiddinbadens.
The Yiddinbadens.
So it's been really, really good because we're doing it together, but we're also sleeping within the times that we're waking up, and it's cool. So the reason why I went on that horrible tangent about the inner workings of our breastfeeding mechanics is the little bottles are the little, like, when we first started doing the formula, we were buying, like, the pre-bottled boxes of
ready to eat.
Yeah. So all you have to do is like unscrew the top, put the nipple on, and you're good to go. And since then, we've gotten financially smarter and gotten the powder that we mix because it's a serious difference. Every time my mouth trails away from the microphone, Annie gives me the finger, which is a sign that I should get a little bit closer. Testes. Anyway, so are we
so
done?
Yeah, so Yiddinbadens. Okay, so Yiddinbadens.
Yeah, okay, so back to Yiddinbadens. So anyway, these little bottles, the Yiddinbadens, and now we're ready for the song. Annie, do the fucking honors.
Is it the boobies?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you're a mother and your child is crying, you will go to all lengths to try and quiet your child. And in my world, that has become just sing at all costs. Doesn't matter what you're singing, just put it together. Figure it out, put it to a nice hymn or a psalm and sing. And so, keeping in line with our funny language, boobs has become boobies, and that's just whatever. It's just cuter for a child to hear the word boobies instead of boobs. And then when you're a fan of 90s hip hop music, put it to an old Snoop Doggy Dog song. That's really the only that is the formula for coming up with a song. So in the wee hours of the night when Monty was tired and wanting something to eat, Micah and I decided to make this song on. It's now in heavy rotation in the Golden Grant Tevlin household. So it goes a little something like this. Boobies.
What's my motherfucking name?
Boobies.
And what I'm eating from?
Mom's boobies. That's it.
And then. After it goes, I'm going to have a Yiddenbaden. I might have two Yiddenbadens.
And that's Monty's part. That's when he's in the schoolyard bragging to all of his friends about how much he can eat. Because, by the way, our 6-pound child is now almost 12 after 6 weeks, which is a lot of weight to gain.
He is a big donkey. And it's so, so sweet because when we first had him at Cedars, we were like, dude, this kid is so, so small. And like the tiny, tiny baby onesies that they had where he was swimming in it. And we're like, dude, we have all this newborn clothes that he's not even going to fit into yet. And most of the clothes that we had, whether it was because we bought it in advance or hand-me-downs from sweet, sweet friends and family and stuff like that, it was like 3 to 6 months, 9 to 12 months. And we're like, dude, okay, well, we'll just have a naked kid for the first however long. And then he grew so fucking fast that he skipped over his newborn and his 3-month clothes.
Yeah.
So literally, like, all the clothes that we didn't think he was going to fit into at all, he is now too big for. In 7 weeks. It's crazy.
Absolutely. So, boobies.
What's my motherfucking name?
Boobies.
And what I'm dinking from?
Mom's boobies.
I'm going to have a Yiddenbaden. I might have two Yiddenbadens.
I might have 4 Yiddenbadens.
Dude, and that's this kid just bragging to his friends. I took down 3 Yiddenbadens.
And by the way, for people that want to comment on this on Instagram, either to shame us or allow us to shine,
don't.
It is Yiddenbodden. Yiddenbodden.
And if you want to make it a hashtag, you can. Listen, I do have to correct something that Annie said. It wasn't in the middle of the night and it wasn't based on exhaustion. It was noon on a Saturday.
Eating a tuna sandwich. I might have a Yiddenbaden. I might have 7 Yiddenbadens.
Yeah, I took down 3 Yiddenbadens. Just this like smug little bastard to his friends.
This is how much I ate today. I mean, this is also the part where I look at the analytics of the podcast and it's like, weird. Everybody dropped off at the 18-minute mark.
Yeah, episode 56 or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, and then the reviews come through. Yeah, I mean, it was cool. And I actually... The show notes.
Oh, God. Hold on.
Too much.
We're going over the shoulder.
He's sweet.
The show notes said that this is motherhood, y'all. Sometimes you got to bring your kid into the studio.
I actually, I turned this episode on my morning commute because I thought that the show notes said that they were going to talk about like the inner workings of their relationship after having a kid and trials and tribulations. You know, like I thought their relationship was really strong and they've actually been tested, you know, in the last 7 weeks since they had a kid. And then they talked about Yiddenbadens and they sang it to this Jay-Z song.
And they claim that their relationship wasn't on the rocks, but they're talking about Yiddenbadens.
Yeah.
It doesn't add up.
And look, John Cusack once said that if you're talking about Yiddenbadens, your relationship is A-okay.
Did you say Cusack? Cusack, John and Joan, yeah. Cusack.
Yeah, Cusack.
He's tired.
That's like when people say milk instead of milk.
It's also when people say pillow instead of pillow.
Those are the same people.
And also when people say library instead of library.
Oh.
Stop.
Yeah, pin, pen. Okay, let me tell you my pet peeve and then we're actually going to get into some serious shit. When people, I've probably already talked about this. When people pluralize establishments that Monty, daddy's talking.
He's on your, this is a pet peeve to Monty too. He's on your level. He's like, tell him dad.
Yeah, tell dad to shut it. When people are talking about the name of an establishment, a store, a restaurant, what have you, let's use Costco as an example, and they put an S onto the end. And I don't know whether they mean possessive or plural, but when someone calls Home Depot, Home Depot's, it makes me want to stab them.
But what about Nordstrom's?
Nordstrom's is a pass because I think a lot of people think it's Nordstrom's anyway. It's not just them naturally doing this pluralization thing. And
what about Barnes and Noble's?
That's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And the end of this story before we get to the serious juice.
What about, I'm just kidding, go on.
Is that I've been dating sweet, sweet Annie Tevlin for...
Dating?
Well,
oh my God. We're married, Holmes.
We've been dating for We've been dating for 3.5 years. We met 3 years ago, and it's been a wonderful ride.
Let's tell the whole story.
And we got married at one point during that, and then we had a child. And I recently, in the last couple of weeks, and this is actually a nice segue into why we're on the rocks, is I realized Annie is a fucking pluralizer. Dude, you should be in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
I mean,
the pluralizer.
But then it came out that I was pluralizing because I was talking about one of many. So if I say, like, hey, I'm thinking of going to Nordstrom's this weekend, it's not because I think that Nordstrom has an S on the end. It's because it's one of the many Nordstrom's.
So you're going to Nordstrom's? Like, you might go to the one in Topanga and the one in
Or the one at the Grove.
That's
I'm going
not,
to
no,
Nordstrom's.
This is a poor attempt at you trying to cover up the fact that you do my pet peeve.
Well, you say Starbucks, so you do it the other way.
I say Starbucks the same way we say Yiddenbadens.
Yiddenbaden. It's not plural.
God, I mean, we were weird before, but we have gone way off the deep end since we had him.
So, yeah, I mean, let's talk about this, because I pride myself on the fact that, especially after, well, I'll just say this. I pride myself on the fact that Micah and I are a strong couple. I feel like we are highly communicative. I feel like, you know, we have a lot in common, which just kind of coats the compatibility that we already had. And we always like doing a lot of the same things. Like, it's rare that I'm like, hey, what do you want to eat tonight? And he says Thai food and I go, ew, gross. I'm usually like, I could do Thai food, or I could do pizza, or I could do sandwiches. I could do any of those things. And he is very agreeable to me, and I am very agreeable to him. And it's because we like doing a lot of the same things. Now, on the occasion that one of us doesn't want to do the thing, does it start a fight? Yes. Is it not very often? Yes. But when it happens, does it shake us to our core? Yes. So in this case, as Monty is pushing the microphone into my mouth, in this case, when you have a baby and you don't know what kind of baby you're going to have, and you don't know, with all the advice and the preparation and the, people telling you, well, just know that this is coming down the line. There is nothing that can prepare you for the kind of baby that you're going to have. Because will you have a baby that sleeps a lot? You don't know. Will you have a baby that countlessly, you know, wants to eat constantly? Will you have a baby that only falls asleep when being held? Will you have a baby that is just fussy for no reason? And whatever you do to try and, you know, calm him or sedate him, it's not going to work. Like, you just don't know until it comes out and you start living life. So some of these things, these unpredictabilities and unknowns, I think tested us. I mean, I don't think it did test us, and it will continue to test us, because he will change with, you know, with each passing week, and we will have to acclimate to him, not him to us. But it tested us in ways that I think it's good for us to share with people, because even the most solid, committed, compatible couple is going to be standing in a room, potentially, you know, being frustrated with the other person and being pissed and being shaken to a core that I don't think we have been before.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that before we get into it, I think this, I mean, because I'm going to forget to say this later, but that we have always, you know, really had great faith in our relationship, and we still do, of course. But, you know, we have wanted imperfection from one another and authenticity and this kind of stuff. And within a relationship that is built on authenticity and honesty and showing your imperfections, the things that you might be insecure about, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be frustration because of said imperfections. You know what I mean? So I think it's like, and we'll get into this more, but like, I have found personally that since we have started this journey, like as soon as he came out, and you know, we're taking care of this child that is so much bigger, you know, figuratively speaking, and so much more important than anything we've ever done before. And he is so sweet, and it's so overwhelming. It's mesmerizing. And I honestly think that we will forever be in shock because of what that moment when they first put you on his chest was like. The mix of everything just going away. This is all that matters. And it's so, so cool. And that's the biggest thing that I will tell to future parents forever. Just wait for that fucking moment. It's the most incredible, magical thing that you will ever experience. But back to what I was saying before, I think since then, it's so important and so constant, you know what I mean? That it would be naive to think that just because it's important, just because it's bigger than you, you are free of your defaults. And to be honest, it actually makes sensitivity higher because you don't have the bandwidth to protect yourself and you don't have the bandwidth to put into play these things that maybe we've been working on. Like, you know, I see a therapist and I work on all these things, but it takes fucking energy to break defaults. When you're exhausted and you're mesmerized by this sweet, sweet baby boy and you're super sensitive about everything because all you want to do is be good to him, it actually kind of makes all the insecurities louder, or that's what I found. And I guess this is kind of a runaway way of saying that no matter how much this kind of thing has the ability to make all the noise go away because it's so much more important than you, there can be a temporary interval where it actually makes all of your shit a little bit louder.
Absolutely. I would say, you know, prior to having a child, that the way my brain operated was once I get all of these things done, then I can rest. And I've always had, especially, you know, I'd say specifically over the last 2 years, I have found a sweet spot for how to manage Skin Owl, how to clean out my inbox so that I'm quote unquote done at a certain time during the day. And when I'm done, then I can be, I'm no longer the Skin Owl, I'm Annie Tevlin, or I'm a wife, or I'm able to sit down and eat dinner and not be on my computer, and we can watch our shows and we can go to bed, or we can have a date night, or, you know, I take that hat off. And what I have found in terms of what I'm sure, and I don't even know if we've talked about this, but I'm sure that this would cause you stress, is that I'm constantly with Monty going back to that default, trying to get to a place of when this is done, then I can rest. And the reality is that that marker is never put in the sand. And not that there's not a moment for rest, but it's so unpredictable. It's all of a sudden you find yourself in that moment and you didn't plan for it and you didn't control all the pieces to get there. But all of a sudden you're in a moment of rest, and it's so hard to be like, okay, let me breathe this in. Let me take this in. Let me appreciate this. I've always anticipated that marker. I've always planned for that marker. I always was in control of that marker. And now I have zero fucking control. I'll use the middle of the night as a good example, because that's usually the most volatile. We can go to bed at 10 o'clock, like responsible, armed and ready parents. And then what happens between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m. can be the biggest shit show. And then the next night we can go to bed at 10 p.m. and it can be seamless. And the odds are always, it's like Vegas odds. You know what I mean? Every single time you flip a coin, there's no indication that it won't be heads four times. There's no indication that it's not going to be a shit show four nights in a week. And there is no reality in this world that is, well, because you just had four shitty nights sleep, that you deserve a fifth off. It doesn't work like that. And that's what I think I'm struggling with, is in my pre-Monty world, I was able to manage all of these things, wear all the hats, and then there was a finish line and there was a sense of order to that finish line. Like, if I do all of this, I can then leave all of this for tomorrow. And what I find is causing stress and causing some mood variations in me is never getting to that place of shutting off and being granted rest because I want it. I have to then push through those times that I would ordinarily have rest or, you know, have some kind of reprieve, and it's not coming. And so what happens? It tests you. You know, they say, like, well, the relationship, it really show what a relationship is once the road gets rocky. And for me, it's not that there's anything that has come up between us that it's like, oh, now you have revealed this other side of yourself since Monty has come along, and now I don't even know who you are. It's I have to acquaint myself with myself and talk myself off the ledge when things don't go to plan the way they did before he came around.
Yeah, I mean, and you and I are so similar in the sense that we are completists and we feel really good when a task is finished. Whether that's a big task, like I have a work project that I can finish today and I'm not going to feel good until it's done. And we've had a hard time, or at least I can speak for myself here, I have a hard time giving credit where credit's due if something's not done yet. And I think that what this process has done for me, and I think that we'll kind of get to how it has caused a clash between our defaults, to be honest with you, is I don't think I ever realized all the things that I was doing subconsciously on a regular basis to hide from my insecurities, or the fact that when I really, really strip it all down, sometimes I don't have a ton of confidence that just lives inside of me unadulterated. I put things in place to make me feel confident. And I think that that's everybody in some capacity, right? We all do that. We have to. But what I've realized is that that control, right? Like control of I can and will finish this with this project for work. I will exercise so that I feel good about my body. I will do my very, very best to control people's perception of me. Sometimes even if that means in toxic ways, like appeasing or keeping my mouth shut when I actually want to speak up to my own desires, or to be honest with you, with different, you know, kind of bits of dishonesty through the years, just to save face. And narcissistic as it sounds, I think for whatever reason, from a very early age, that's just kind of what I started doing. It was more important for me to have the perception of me be good than it was for me to focus on really building myself up for myself so that I didn't feel like I had to. And so you take all those tools, right? And then you have a child and you come into it thinking, okay, like I have learned all these things about myself. And I'm so excited to have a kid because it's going to make all the noise go away. And like I said before, it's so much more important than you and it should just cancel out the fucking noise. And in some ways it does. But like I said, in other ways, it is that child and his schedule and his terms that are getting in the way of everything I've ever done to protect myself from my insecurities. So it's like, if I think I can work out that day, nope, you know, because he would have to be sleeping for this long. The dog needs to be not trying to lick his face. You need to be settled with whatever you're doing so that I can do that. There's so many moving pieces that it's like, dude, you know what? You might not be able to control this. Controlling my mood and having myself convinced that I'm not somebody who can get angry, or I'm not somebody who can be forgetful and shit like that. I mean, I got to be fucking high to think that that's not going to happen when the exhaustion starts to hit. So here I am kind of confused that I'm starting to show all these versions of myself when really these are parts of me that I've always just tried to protect that I can't protect myself from anymore because there's something that's more important.
Well, and I would also argue that those are the exact types of things that we work on, that we were working on, and we each have our own shit. I'm not just saying like we were working on your issues. We were working on our shit before Monty came along. And now with Monty here, he's forcing us to work on it for real. Like there was an attempt with therapy before Monty, and now it's like, you got to get with the program now and acclimate, and you got to learn how to rise above your control issues or your, you know, what you thought life was going to look like today. And you've just got to roll with the punches and move with the cheese. And so it is actively making us better people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so cool to think like, even with this frustration right now of me not being able to check all the boxes off and certain things falling short, and you with the things that you just mentioned, that at the end of all of this, it puts us in a place to just acclimate and surrender.
Yeah. Yep. I fully agree. and just kind of learning to trust in your own goodness, you know, and I think that that's something that, you know, kind of per what I was saying before, didn't really realize it, but I've struggled with that. And now here we are in this situation where I'll find myself kind of going down this slippery slope where, you know, if I've been a little bit insecure about, say, something like, you know, career path, and a little bit insecure that I'm not, say, in the shape that I used to be or something like that. At least I'm a good listener and I'm patient, right? Just these are hypotheticals and they're also my reality. So this friend of mine, so at least I can rest on these things that I know I am, right? But then what happens when the exhaustion and the frustration and the different personalities coming into play, starts to happen and you're not being a good listener? Then everything gets louder, right? So I'm insecure about my career path. I'm insecure about the fact that I'm not in the kind of shape I was. And the one thing I thought I was, being a good listener, I'm not that anymore right now. So am I good? Who am I? Am I a good dad? I mean, all these things. And it's when you don't have the bandwidth to protect yourself, all the noise kind of gets a little bit louder in a time when you wish the noise was quieted by the fact that there's something that's bigger than you. It's very interesting.
Well, and that's like our work right now because, you know, let's say, for example, and I think it's good to put this in like actual terms, you know, we'll be going to a pediatrician appointment and it's not just about packing, making sure that our bags are packed and we have our wallet and keys, but the baby bag is packed. So there's got to be a diaper. There's got to be a change of clothes, a changing mat. There's maybe got to be some extra food for him just in case we're at the appointment for a little bit longer, right? There's all of these things that, again, it's a constant, relentless consideration for things that you did not consider before. And so then I say, while you're running around the house and I'm trying to finish feeding him before we go, hey, can you remember to put in the bag his an extra pair of socks? And then we get to the pediatrician appointment, and let's say those socks aren't in the bag. For me, it's in any other circumstance, someone forgetting something, the amount of times that you and I forget something, you would have a meeting with that person to be like, hey, you don't listen to me. And it makes me feel some kind of way. My feelings are hurt because you don't listen to me. In this scenario, there is so much to consider that the reason that the socks didn't make the bag is so innocent and just because you were doing something else of great importance for the baby bag or to get us out of the house, that you have to reconcile that in real time. You have to say to yourself, even though you're so frustrated with the amount of times that I might have to remind you of something, this is not because Micah is a bad person. This is not because Micah, you know, did this on purpose. This is not because Micah chose not to. It was because you were doing something else of great importance. And that's like the mantra, the parent mantra for me is acting with grace and with forgiveness for the person. And that is my work because it's so quick for me to just be like, it was just a pair of socks. Like how hard is it to remember a pair of socks? That's not accurate. That's not how you accurately deal with situations like this when you are under just as much stress as I am. You are on paternity leave. You are not at work. You are not a hands-off dad. You are just as much in the trenches as I am. And so it makes troubleshooting and the quote-unquote fighting and differences easier now with some hindsight. In the beginning of all of this, no, you bet your ass I wasn't coming to it with that kind of knowledge and foresight. But now looking back, it's like, wow, you know, you and I are both in this together trying to fucking figure it out. And we both have on a million hats and we're both super stressed and we both have our insecurities. You know, for me, someone who was able to run a business in a certain way. And now it's like, I promised someone that I'm going to be there at 11 and it's really 11:30 because Monty has a poop explosion before we walk out the door. I take responsibility for that. I feel like it's my fault because I didn't have a baby who should have pooped earlier. I mean, it's like, it's asinine. It's ridiculous to set these expectations on yourself. But again, here we are. You are having a baby holds a mirror up to all of the things that you couldn't get a handle on before having a baby. And now whether you like it or not, Monty's going to hold up that mirror even closer. This is an objects are closer than they appear mirror. And it's just, there's no way out of it. You can't escape it. And all you can do as a couple is hopefully come into that scenario with a foundation of love and trust and benefit of the doubt and grace. And hopefully that will take you through the hard times that eventually will work themselves out too.
I couldn't agree more, and that's really what has happened for us. You know, when our defaults have butted heads with one another, like in times when my default when I'm upset about something is to go inward and stay really quiet, and your default when you're upset about something is to turn the volume up and let the person know, those have direct clash with one another, right? Because I'm upset and I'm not vocalizing it, which makes you feel like you're not being communicated with. So that's my way. That's me attacking you silently. And because you get vocal and I don't, that's you attacking me loudly. So we're both kind of attacking each other with our defaults. And we had a number of times where we really, really had to talk through it, because when you don't have the bandwidth to protect yourself or to think all the way through things in real time, all you have is your sensitivities and all you have is your insecurities. And that's where it got the hardest, I think. You know, when we were in those types of trenches, and it's funny because this kid, I mean, he's a fucking angel. You know what I mean? He's so good. And I think just because of the nature of, oh my God, we're parents now and we are, we're in this. We're doing this thing that we have been so excited for and so afraid of for so long. And it's so much emotion that now we're in it.
Listen, that's a perfect example. You and I constantly talking and being like, sorry, it's gone. I have no idea what I'm talking about. That's real too. You know what I mean? Like, to be able to just be and be forgiving of yourself and not be in control of every thought and every action. And this is a wonderful lesson for two people that have spent the majority of their lives, you know, planting things in certain places so that you can make sense of it and that you can control it.
Yeah.
And it's not, by the way, control is not always a bad thing. It's what allows you to, you know, tend to chores and check things off your, you know, your to-do list and create a business from the ground up and balance a business with a baby, and you're, you know, going out on your own and starting your own business and starting to put building blocks in place that require a sense of control. You need time to send the emails and build the website and do the things. It's like there is a purpose for our control, but we're also seeing how control has worked against us, and how it doesn't always bring out the best in us. And my hope is that having a baby and staying in a committed relationship will actually make us the best versions of ourselves that we've ever been privy to. And I'm excited for that. I honestly am. I'm excited to be a different person because of Monty. I don't want to be someone that's volatile because I didn't get to do all the things that I thought I was going to do that day. I don't want to be someone that goes from 0 to 100 because we forgot stuff because I didn't get enough rest. Like, I want to embrace this, and it's flying. It's flying. This is so temporary. This is not the rest of our life. This is a moment in time where we have a child that we're growing that is unpredictable. And then we're going to look back in not that many weeks and be like, man, those were the golden years. You know, that was a time that we'll never get back, especially if we only have one child. So I know this is like, there's so much to talk about with this, and we literally don't have that much time because Monty is starting to move and waken from his graceful sleep. And I would like to keep this, I would like to stay with the flow and control the flow if I can, okay? But no, for real, I just would like to end this on a positive note before we have to give all of our attention to him. But I couldn't do this without you. And I think it's possible to go through some of the most challenging times in your life and be grateful for them at the same time. I think that those two things can live together, that you can be sleepless not just completely your sleep patterns and any pattern for that matter, to welcome debauchery into that otherwise orderly process and feel like it is still the best of times. And that's a crazy feeling to have, to know that this is so fleeting and it will pass us by, and that we'll be so thankful for it and wish it back in not that many weeks.
Yeah, and I think that that's that's the biggest takeaway here for me. When even when we are in those kind of trenches type scenarios, with the reason why I, you know, kind of bring up what an angel he is that the ways we have butt heads very rarely have much to do with him. You know what I mean? He's been such an innocent, you know, standbyer. It's been so cool. You know what I mean? That really the thing that has happened between us is just that our defaults are butting heads with one another. And I think that because there's so much soul in our relationship and there is so much communication in our relationship, we have gotten really good at creating a safe space for us to just be able to get it out in the tree of trust. And it's really, really cool because even in those times when it's hot, there's so much love and we know it. And it's not just, I can't fucking wait till this shit's over so that we can hug and make up, because I've been in relationships like that, all of my relationships, and they end in flames because it's not authentic. But to feel the love while we're in the trenches and to know that there's history and there's so much soul, like I said, is a really, really great feeling. And it has to do with the work we've done. And it has to do with our foundation. And to be honest with you, I think it's making us good parents.
It is.
So it's reality, but it's,
yeah, absolutely. Monty's going to witness that too. He's going to get older and see that, wow, my parents care. And my parents like also fall on their sword, and they're imperfect, and they're doing the best that they can. Yeah. And that's a really cool thing for a kid to see. So we're going to be talking a lot about this. I want Micah to be in the studio as much as possible, just to talk about things that I hope you guys relate to. And I hope that this takes some air out of any balloons of stress that you guys have at home with a newborn, or I don't know, just trying to figure any aspect of life that is presenting challenges. It's just good to kind of go back to basics and remember the foundation, and remember that this too shall pass. And that on the other end of that, you don't want to be too harsh that you then change the dynamic of your relationship. Like, do it with grace, be forgiving of yourself and your partner, and just know that the best is yet to come. Do you want to say any final words before we end with a song?
I do, and we're just going to keep going back and forth on the final words. I promise I'm not trying to have the last word. You keep saying things, and I think of this other thing. You know, I think that a cool thing to remember too is that you're never alone. You know, and I speak for myself, and maybe I speak for you in some senses too, where when feelings like nervousness or feelings like stress come about, they're associated with loneliness. I feel very alone in my nervousness. But as soon as I'm able to talk about what I'm nervous about, even if it feels irrational for me to be nervous, I remember that we have each other's back. And if I can say anything to, you know, people who are considering having a kid, whatever, even though, you know, of course, who wants to be on the receiving end of fucking unsolicited advice? remember to discuss those things, even if they seem silly, you know what I mean? Because building that foundation is just constant reminder that you're in it together, because you can feel lonely when you feel less than ideal. That's when you need your partner the most.
Absolutely. You know what's less than ideal? My left arm is completely asleep. Like, you could punch it as hard as you could and I wouldn't feel anything, because Monty is so heavily asleep on it.
Because Monty gained 5 pounds since we've been in the studio today.
And that's the other thing. We have an 11 and a half pound child, and he was born at 5 pounds, like 8 ounces. So, all right. Well, should we end on a song?
I could
start it off. It's not on Spotify yet.
Do you want to just go? Yeah.
Boobies.
What's my motherfucking name?
A boobies.
And what I'm dinking from?
A mom's boobies.
I'm going to have a Yiddenbottoms. I might have 4 Yiddenbottoms.
I might have 7 Yiddenbottoms.
Dude, we are so fucked.
We're on fire. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like this episode, go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, scroll past the episodes, and check out the area where there's stars. Light them up, put 5 there, and let us know what you think, and what you'd like to hear next. We love you guys. We are so appreciative that this podcast is happening and still able to stick around, even with a birth in the process. So thank you guys, and if you have anything to say, shouted out on Instagram. We are at Off the Record with you on Instagram, and just slide into our DMs and let us know what you'd like to hear about in future episodes. We love you guys, and we're thankful, and we're just so happy to be in this place right now, sharing it with you guys.
Yep. Love you, dudes. Annie, love you. Thank you as always.
Love you too, babe. Bye. I respect your privacy. What happens here will never leave this room. So lock the door, put me in, put a finger to my lips, 'cause I can't say I've got what I would do off the record with you.